like passions. We're going to talk about that is kind of a follow-up on that is common to man. That is to say, every passion, whether it be pain, for food, whatever, there are no people that are not subject to those same things. Now, I want to expand upon that just a little bit. I'm going to take for a subject Elijah and Elisha. Were they any different? Were they supermen? Of course not. Were they supernatural? Answer, no. They were not. They were just plain old boys that God decided to use. Why am I doing this lecture? Because there's some plain old boys and girls out here that God intends to use in the near future. And it's kind of up to you, you know. We're going to kind of look at old Elijah and Elisha a moment and see just how far. It wasn't like this. One morning Elijah, the Tishbite, was told by God, "Get up, Elijah. I'm going to be with you every second. You're going to go down here at exactly 3:30 p.m. this afternoon. We're going to shut their water off." That's one way it happened. 3.5 months later, God didn't say, "Get up, Elijah. Go down, tell Ahab. 3:30, 20 seconds past the minute, we're going to turn the water back on." Didn't happen that way, friend. Just didn't happen that way at all. Open your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 5. And leading up to verse 17, it says there, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." But those righteous men are hard to come by sometimes, all right? And then in the fifth chapter of this great book of Peter, James. I hope I said James. James chapter 5, verse 17. And we have Elijah here in the Greek, which is Elias. Well, that is Elijah. What does it say here about Elijah? Okay, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly. Do you mean to tell me Elijah had to pray also? Of course he did. Naturally he had to pray also. Just like you are. "That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth, but by the space of 3 years and 6 months." He had to pray for that. All right? 18. "And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." Now, most of us, that's real good news, because we need a multitude of sins hidden, all right? And that works to our advantage, certainly. But what did it say? It said that those things, that Elijah was subject to the same feelings you are. Would that mean doubt? You bet. Elijah had some doubts. I'll show them to you this morning, just as we go through this a little bit. Did he doubt all that much? Well, according to what you want to call all that much. But Elijah had one thing. If anything set him aside, it was that he obeyed God. Unfortunately, one of the easiest things for a Christian to do is to decide, "Well, I know it all. Yeah. I know just how God should do this. And I know He just hasn't gotten around yet, so I'm going to do it for Him. I'm going to convert. I know God hasn't let this little soul here grow 1 ounce, but I'm going to go over and muster up my courage, and I'm going to make this rascal sprout roots. He's going to grow in the Lord. You're wasting your time. Absolutely wasting your time. Father has a pretty good plan. And the quicker you can learn to live by that plan, that word, and let the Father do the orders or the commands that execute action, better off you're going to be, friend. The quicker you're going to be, sooner you're going to be blessed. All right? So Elijah was. I mean, when it rained on him, he got wet just like you do. His socks got grippy and stuck between his toes, and there just wasn't a thing different from that old boy than there is from you. It was the same way with Elisha. When they wanted something from the Father, Father gave them a plan, and then they had to start counting. 1 month, that's 4 weeks, and the moon's here. I said, that's 2 months. Now we got 3 months coming up. Well, here we got a half a month. Well, now it's time. But God didn't say, punch the clock. He gave them orders. And then, after they declared the command, that's what a prophet's supposed to do, and they happen to be prophets, all right? Well, hey, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go back to the 17th chapter of 1 Kings, and let's get into Elijah. Let's check him out. Everything, he was hit by every passion that you are, okay? First Kings, let's go to, and let's hit it at chapter 17 with the beginning of Elijah's life here. Again, bearing in mind, Elijah wasn't supernatural. He was not a superman. He was a child of God that followed God's orders. Chapter 17, verse 1, 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, that's to say recourse, if you want, and there was recourse to this, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, God had given him these orders, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's what God had told him. He passed this word on to the king. Now, you don't just go around. This is where many people, it's very difficult to follow God's command, because Ahab didn't want to go up before that king all that much. He wasn't all that popular with him. After all, he was a man of God. And Ahab was hooked up with old Jezebel, and Jezebel sure didn't like God's prophets. She'd rather have some of those Baal prophets, priests. And it was kind of dangerous to do that. If God tells you something, it's not going to be dangerous to you as long as you do it His way. I'm talking about from His Word. Now, just a word, I'll insert just a word for those that have dreams and visions. You're on your own, friend, as to where that vision came from. But there are a lot more false visions given in this generation and to this generation than there are true. And you will pay the penalty for having listened to a false dream if you follow one that is false. Do you want me to say that again? I'm talking here about the Word of God and His commandments and prophecies as it will happen. If you hear a voice in the night, you better know who it is, all right? Because we're not necessarily talking about that. And in this case, you know, some people will say, well, God told me to kick him. You know, well, God usually doesn't tell people to kick people or hurt them or harm them. So if you get some idea like that, you're kind of, I could go as far as saying out of it, all right? Because that does not agree with God's plan necessarily. All right, I insert that. And a word to the wise is sufficient. Okay. So he has accomplished what God told him to do. Go tell Ahab. Verse 2. And the Lord, word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 3. See, he'll never leave you without orders. After he's delivered it, this is what he's supposed to do then. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Kereth. That's cutting. That is the Ford Jordan. You go down there by the old Jordan, get to that brook, and you hide yourself. Four. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Boy, that's the silliest thing I ever heard of, some people would say. Them darn birds is going to feed me. Coming along there. Sometimes things that God tells you may not make sense to you. May not seem normal. Don't question it from His Word, all right? Don't question it. He said, go down there, and I'll cause the ravens to feed you. And sometimes the word in the Hebrew happens to be Oreb, which our word Arab comes by. For all I know, the Arabs fed him and probably did. It's the things of translations, you see, that can confuse things. But be that as it may, I believe our Father enough if He told one of them blackbirds, hey, you start you a treasure nest right there in that old tree right above what's-his-name's head, and He'll share your goodies with you, all right? That could have happened. I have no problem with it. Five. So he went and he did according unto the word of the Lord. Boy, that's hard for some people. You stop and think about it. He went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Kereth, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and fish, flesh rather, in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. God takes care of his own. Now, hey, you better let that soak in right real good. The reason I'm doing this, we have a time coming up soon. And if God tells you nobody will touch a hair on your head, you'd better believe it. They're not going to. If you're going somewhere to witness, and God says, I'll take care of you, and you're going there, hey, that's called faith. And Christianity is a reality. Elijah did not argue. He did it. All right? And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Oh, God let me down. Oh, boy. No rain. I know there's not going to be rain. This brook's done dried up and whew, I'm getting thirsty. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. You get on down there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And here he's going. Again, is he supernatural, and does he have some secret? Well, if you want to call it a secret, God's telling him exactly what to do, just as he has told you exactly what to do in the book of Revelation, all through the Gospels, over and over, through Paul, the later apostle born out of time, out of his time, even after Christ was crucified, to bring you the word, instructions, commandments, what you're supposed to do. I guess the question is, have you ever read it or really understood it? Okay? So he arose. This is what he did. He didn't argue. He arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, there's not all that much water, all right? And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, I mean, he's doing pretty good. And like I said, he's got feelings just like you or I. Got my water. Hey, I'll play this on. I'm hungry. I'm going to call her and tell her. She agreed with that. He called to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. If you're going to do that, bring me some dye. Okay, well, you know the story. We don't have to carry that particular story on further. God anointed the meal and the oil, and it would last the entire 3.5 years. Now stop and think just a moment. Boy, there is a widow woman out here today. She's called Mother Israel. Most of them have no idea who they are. Some of them call themselves a queen, and they're going to marry the false one pretty soon and sit a queen, not a widow. But there's a widow out there that needs to be fed. There's a widow out there that needs her meal blessed. You have the bread of life, which is to say the Word of God, the body of Christ. And there comes a payday, a time that you're supposed to earn your keep. You're supposed to share a little bit of what you have. Because what is the famine in the end generations? Amos chapter 8. It's not for bread. It's not for meal. It's not for water. It's for hearing the Word of God. Why do you think some of you are driven to study so many hours and to be so hungry to get into our Father's Word? No, you're not supernatural. Well, I got some good news for you. Elijah wasn't either. Either. He was just like you. He was just like me. No different. God is always in control. Well, now, here we know it's not going to rain. And what happens here is 3.5 years go by and things get pretty bad. Ahab has people out looking for Elijah. They want to kill him. I mean, kill him bad. And finally, turn over to the 18th chapter. Let's pick it up there. This is where we're going to turn the faucet back on. All right? How did he do that? Verse 8, chapter 18. And it came to pass after many days. How many days? You know. That the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Now, did Elijah do it? No. Elijah didn't cause it to rain. Elijah didn't shut the rain off. It was God's plan. All you had to do was read it. And count days, count moons, count times. Well, he's told him, yes, just about that time. He's reminding him. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. You can just watch mountain, and you can imagine why. Hadn't rained in 3.5 years. Look at some of these old pastures out here around Gravity. It hasn't rained here in about, well, up a little spatter here and there, but there's burn places, and that's only been 2 months, or hardly 2 months. Doesn't take that long. Picture 3.5 years almost. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now let me just fill you in. Old Obadiah took, when Jezebel killed off most of Israel's priests, he took 100 of them and run back and hid them out and everything, and finally got kind of back in with Ahab. And he said, What are you picking on me for? You know that if I go tell Ahab where you are and you're not there, he's going to kill me. And Elijah tells him, No, I'm going to keep my word. I'll be right here. I want to talk with Ahab. So, if we drop on down here, let's go down to verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah. I mean, he's kept his word. That's verse 17 of chapter 18. When Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? You the one that's causing all the trouble around here? You hear it on television today. Those Christians are causing a lot of trouble. You know, they're radicals and so forth, okay? But we're not causing the trouble. It's those people that are shooting each other, killing each other, and lying to the people. They're the ones that's causing the trouble. We're not. All right? Got it? Okay. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And anyway, you know the story. I'll just talk you to it real quickly for the sake of time. He said, let's all get up to Carmel. Carmel means a pleasant place. And he said, you get all your priests in here and put an altar here and you tell them to have their God consume it. And here we got about 400 Baal priests which they're common people too. You got it? Just like you, they put their socks on the same way you do. They have the same passions you do. They're just misled. And old Elijah has himself a ball. He sits over and he watches, and it's hot, and they're praying and to their God. And Elijah hollers over and said, maybe he's on a lunch break. maybe he took a vacation. You know, and he's just prodding them on and having all kinds of fun with them. But anyway, finally, you know what happened. Elijah said, pour what water you got left. He called on the power of God, and whoosh! But was Elijah supernatural? No. He was only doing what God told him to do. Now, God's already reminding him, hey, the time's moving along here. It was in the third one here, okay? Said, get set for it. Well, they went up to Carmel for more of a reason. Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees, 43, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again seven times. He said, there's not a cloud in the sky. Old Elijah's praying, mind you. He is praying. Do you ever pray to God? God has given you a whole set of plans here, and you should at least know the seasons. Do you ever pray about it? God, what did it say back in the book of James? The prayers of a good person cover a multitude of sins and shortcomings and ignorance on our part as well of how to count time. It makes a big difference. So, no, you're not supernatural, but you're same kind of man Elijah was, same kind of woman, made of flesh, born a woman. Doesn't hurt to pray. My point is this, it was not cut and dried for Elijah down to the second. Don't expect it to be for you. That's what prayer is for. Went up there and looked. Not a cloud in the sky. Go back seven times. Now, Elijah, that's silly. That's just the craziest thing I ever heard about. Don't you know there's rocks and it's hard climbing that mountain, and I don't want to go back up there seven times. And you go out with us on one of our documentaries sometime and climb up once, and you'll know why I'm saying seven times can be a bunch. Okay? Whew. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. He's already told Ahab, get saddled up and get yourself off this mountain to town. It's going to rain a bunch. Not a cloud in the sky. 44, and it came to pass at the seventh time. What does seven mean? Spiritual completeness. At the time of spiritual completeness, that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea. Just a little one. Like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. You're going to sink in the mud if you don't hurry, boy, back to Jezebel. All right? And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great wind. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. That's a play on the word Israel, meaning the wrong people are ruling here at this time. Got it? Okay. 46, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, just like that hand that looked like a cloud. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That man outran that chariot, ran along in front of it. God is able, trust Him, He'll take care of you. There wasn't any difference. He wasn't a Superman. It's just that our Father is able. Do you know what's going to happen to Elijah after? I mean, he's killed. If we had read the verse before we started there, you'd found out that Elijah put the sword, good prophet of God, he killed about 400 men just before it was going to rain. Right? at God's order? Yes. Now, he has absolutely brought the rain now. And you know what's going to happen to him? Let's just take a minute. It won't hurt. Verse 19, chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Kill your prophets, Jezebel! Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. I'm going to kill you, Elijah. I mean, boy, you've been a brave champion for God. And this wild woman is on your case. What did Elijah do, this man of God? And when he saw that, he arose and he went for his life. He ran and came to Beersheba. That's the well of Seven, or the oak, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. I mean, he's getting out of sight, man. Right? Getting out of sight. And came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, that take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Just kill me. I've done it all. It's just been so hard. Elijah, any different than you? You ever had a moment like that? That's that moment I told you I was going to show you about good old Elijah. All right? I mean, he does all that to make believers out of him, and you'd think it would appear that all those miracles have been performed on your behalf, burning up the altar and doing this, that Jezebel would shake in her boots and fall in line. She wasn't even impressed. She puts her finger in his face and says, I'm going to kill you, boy. And I mean, she's got the power. And he ran, his God, just killed me. I just want it to be over with. Well, that's the way it goes. Elijah was just like us. Well, you know that God began to deal with him, and he showed him a storm and an earthquake, and just like that little cloud, a little voice. Kind of like this voice can be. And he said, I'm not in any of that other stuff. But you see, he's in you when you hear him. And when he's in you and you're following his way, you can get it done. This ministry is a living proof of that. That a small little church in northwest Arkansas that started out meeting in homes and old buildings others had shut has built into probably the largest ministry in the world today as far as coverage is concerned, and getting bigger by the day. We did it? No. God did it. Because he found a group of people that know they're commoners. That is to say, not supernatural. But we know somebody that is. And that is our Heavenly Father. Now, so Elijah would come on, and Elijah would have the victory. All right? But finally, Elijah was called home. Let's go back. Let's take a trip back to the New Testament real quick. Luke chapter 4. I want to pick up here in winding this down. Luke chapter 4, is that right? Yes, it is. Let's understand the teachings of Christ just a little bit. This is the chapter in Luke whereby Christ went into the synagogue and he picked up a Bible or a scroll rather, and he read that great quote from Isaiah chapter 61. Which, you know, is the gap theory. The scripture reads, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You'll see it in verse 19 as it completes. I don't want to go into that teaching. Chapter 4, the book of Luke, verse 19. And when he had said that, to preach the acceptable year, you know in the book of Psalms it goes on and to say also to bring in the day of vengeance. meaning the return, meaning the day we're looking for now. All right? And he laid that down, and they began to marvel. Some of them wanted him to do some tricks for them. And he would state in verse 23, "Physician, heal yourself. That's what you'll be wanting me to do. A prophet is without honor in his own country." And then he says something. Verse 24, "And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Now, okay, verse 25, "And I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias," that's to say Elijah, "when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, 3.5 years, when great famine was throughout all the land," 26, "but unto none of them was Elias," that's to say Elijah, "sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Just that one woman, that's all God would send him to. And that was foreexplained. She was symbolic of Mother Israel. She was very generous in that she gave of what she had to this man of God. And his blessings from God were shared with her. What is the point there? Christ is telling you, concerning the acceptable time of the year, I'll use who I want to, and I don't care if there are 1 billion people on earth. I'll use who I choose. Whom I choose, if you prefer. It's up to me. That's the way I will do it. It's the way he had done it. Verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus," which is to say Elisha, that's the follower of Elijah, "the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Just one old boy. Just one old boy was healed. He wasn't even an Israelite, he was a Syrian. Well, what is the story on that? It's quite a little story. We're going to take just a little bit of time, and this is the close. Why that one? There's a reason. The captivity came along, and there was a little Israelite maid was taken over to this king, and this king had a servant that was named Naaman. And, boy, he really liked him. He took care of the king, and the king wanted the very best for him, but there was just one problem. He had leprosy. Just about eaten up with it. And this little Israelite maid, they'd tried everything under the sun, the great practices of the heathen to heal this leprosy. And this little Israelite maid says, "Hey," said to her mistress, "if you'll have him go over to God's country and talk to this one man, Elisha, the prophet, he can heal him." Well, boy, the king got wind of this, so right away he sends old Naaman over to seek out Elisha. Let's just take just a minute here if we can remember here. And we're going to run over there to it. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm kind of chasing you around, but it's worth it. 2 book of Kings chapter 5. Poor old boy. So he gets the word from the maid. We'll pick it up there, and I'm going to start reading 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood in the door of the house of Elisha." I mean, he's got his company with him. He's a rich man. He's got plenty, okay? And he brought a whole caravan with him. Verse 10, chapter 5, 2 Kings. "And Elisha..." He knows all about this. What did he do? He's sitting in his house. "Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." I mean, now get this picture. Elisha is no different than you are, but God told him what to say, and he said it. And here is a muckety duck. I mean, the king's head man with his caravan. He's got servants that he tells when to polish his shoes. And this man didn't even have the courtesy, this prophet, to come out and do his big thing. He just sends a message, go down and dip in the creek 7 times. Go dip in the creek 7 times. That sounds familiar for some reason. Okay? Be that as it may. 7 spiritual completeness. All right? Now, what does he do? But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me." I mean, we got to have a big ritual out of this deal. "And stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." I just knew he had to come out and slap me in the forehead and hit me with his coat and knock me down on the floor and whoosh, blow on me a time or two. You know? Just had to happen. And here I've come all this way, and this rascal, as important as I am, wants me to go down and dip in the creek 7 times. That's silly. Now listen to me. Listen to me closely. God doesn't work in big ways. It's always very simple. All right? Very simple. And that's what some of these people can't understand. The simplicity in which Christ taught. You don't make a sideshow or a circus out of God's work. Dip 7 times. You know what he says then? "Are not Abana?" You know what that is? Perennial. That means all year long a river flows. And Pharpar, the swift river. Rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel. I mean, back in my home in Syria, hey, we got rivers that make the Jordan look like a creek bed. And he's telling me, "May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. No big show. No big fanfare. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it?" If he had put on a big show, you would have done it. "How much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean.'" Well, that's, you can understand that. In other words, we've tried everything else. It looks to me like we've come this far. You might as well do it. 14. When he went down, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So, Jesus refers to this when he says the acceptable time of the Lord. No big fanfare. Just do it. Do what? Do God's plan. These men were not something super special. Were they children of God? Oh, you bet. And I know God loved them because they did have one thing. They had weaknesses. "Oh, God, just let me die today. Oh, it's all over." That's Elijah for you, okay? But he toughened back up. God accomplished it. Do you trust Him? It is written, don't turn there, listen to me. It is written in Mark 13 that God's elect are going to be delivered up. That they are not to premeditate what they will say beforehand. "I know what I'm going to do if I get old Slewfoot up there in front of me. I've just got a thing or two before God talks that I want to say." Don't be a fool. Keep it simple. There was an old saying. What was it? K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay, or something like that. Keep it short, stupid. I think that's usually the note so that a wife, pastor's wife passes up to the front. And don't you all forget that now as you motor your way back to Tulsa. Okay, keep it short and you won't miss your airplane. But you're going to be delivered up. He has told you in detail what's going to happen. Can you cut it? Can you listen to Him? Can you do it His way, or must you do as Naaman would? Well, if I'm going to do it, I want to have certain music playing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they will. But you understand, what the picture that's coming to my mind is a boxer that's ready to enter the ring, and he's got to have his big belt, you know. And the lights have got to be flashing and glaring, and here comes the champion, you know, delivered up before the Antichrist. Hey, don't count on it, friend. Keep it simple. That's the way God operates. Are you supernatural? You may feel like you are some days, but then think of all those other days, all right? Oh, he hurt God bad. All right? And do it God's way. Keep it simple as it's written. And God can use you. The reason I've delivered this, this may be sooner than some might think. Because you see, even as Elijah knew how to count 3.5 years, and even as he knew how to count a second 3.5 years, many of you know how to count a generation. At least I hope you're counting. Because we're closing down on that time. Will it be tomorrow? No, I don't think so. I don't know when it will be exactly. But I do know we're in that season. So be ready. And as we get ready, let us keep it simple. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your truths. Thank You, Father, for creating man in Your image. Thank You, Father, for touching us all with the same passions, that we're alike. And what we do with Thy Word is that is determined within our own minds, Father. Touch, bless, and lead, Father. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay.